So it's Monday night. I almost said it was Sunday night because it feels like a Sunday night, but it's really Monday night. Labor Day 2018. Hooray for labor. I'm not sure what that means, but certainly it means something to somebody. I don't know what it means to me. I know that there are people out there who would say I should, have some deep abiding love for Labor Day in the context of labor unions and labor movements. And in general, I've come to just despise groupthink. It's not that I don't think people should organize. I think they should organize voluntarily. Like, if unions were more voluntary, I don't know, I'd probably be more supportive. But they tend to be kind of corporate and oppressive themselves. So, yes, hooray for Labor Day. That's as much as I can say about that. But this is not the point of this particular podcast that I'm going to put on Sound SoundCloud. The point of this is to talk about the whole John McCain thing a little bit more. Firstly, I have no regrets about my public opinions about that guy. I think he was a horrible person. That's my opinion. And if somehow an angel comes and explains to me the truth of him, that he was really this guy on a mission from God, okay. I mean, that's the one angle, because I'm a Christian. So, in theory, an angel could come and say, Dan, John McCain was working for us. Well, no angel has appeared. And in general, people yawn. I mean, it's like everyone has come to accept the simple fact that most, if not all, of our leaders are kind of just basically corrupt. It's not that they're a little flawed or have some minor issues. We've come to believe, and I think this is a true belief, I think it's spreading, that our leadership is basically corrupt. So when we honor them, it's not so much that we're honoring them for being good people. We're basically saying, hey, you were really famous. Congratulations. You had power, you had fame. Congratulations. That is kind of the moral victory in America today. It's kind of scary. It's ultimately saying that, the American moral compass is more or less about popularity. So if people believe someone is like someone worthy of general respect, it really doesn't matter if they built their career off of the military industrial complex. It really doesn't matter. People don't care. And it gets me to one of these issues I've been thinking about, because a lot of the conversations people have about history, about recent history, about ancient history, tend to be very cartoon-like. Like, stuff fits into either good or bad in simple terms. And it's something I've been thinking about recently because, I'm an amateur writer. I don't know, I probably suck. But in a lot of ways, the characters in my stories are just, they're not that appealing. And it's kind of written that way. And that's just who I am. I mean, I'm not out to create characters that you're going to really fall in love with. If the message of the story has a certain aspect to it, you might reject the character. You might feel sorry for them. But the likelihood that you're going to say, oh, this is a guy I really love, it's like, I don't know. It's complicated. And that's the thing. I mean, I think most Americans have gotten used to being fed not simply the popularity model of morality, but this really grotesque, kind of cartoonish, weird, good and evil version of reality. Like, certain things were either just good or evil. Like World War II, for example. People have conversations about World War II, and they'll say things like, well, we were the good guys, and the Nazis were the bad guys. And on a certain level, that's true. I am in no way going to defend Adolf Hitler. He was a total scumbag, and essentially his policies were terrible, and what happened to the Jewish people under the Nazis was terrible. That's a simple historical fact I do not seek to dispute, because if that turned out to be a lie, I'd have a hard time with a lot of issues. So I just accept that as essentially being true. But here's the other thing. We also allied ourselves with Joseph Stalin. And Joseph Stalin was a real creep. I mean, there were two nations that invaded Poland in 1939. One was Germany, the other was the Soviet Union. They did that by compact. So when people say to themselves, okay, we were the good guys, listen, one of our allies in World War II was Joseph Stalin. This was one of the most brutal people, one of the most brutal sociopathic people in human history. Okay, he was our ally in World War II. Our government knew how brutal he was. People in power knew how brutal he was. It was not a secret that he had killed millions. Millions of Russians, millions of Georgians, millions of Ukrainians, millions upon millions. He just killed a lot of people. That wasn't a secret, but he was our ally. Here's another thing we need to consider. Whatever we want to say about Pearl Harbor, if you look at the war in the Pacific as a whole, it was an extraordinarily racist war. We did not describe the Japanese in human terms. We described them as monkeys. It was extremely racist. That's one of the reasons why something like Nagasaki and Hiroshima doesn't really bother people too much, because in the terms of World War II, we describe Japanese people as animals. And you don't feel sad about dropping atom bombs on animals. You just don't. But they were people in actual fact. But that's the thing, the cartoon version of reality. And in some ways, these Marvel comic movies are partly to blame in some ways, but these cartoon versions of reality that there were good guys and bad guys. Listen, World War II was filled with bad guys on every side. It was a terrible, terrible war. It caused horrible damage. If it was avoidable, it was probably avoidable in 1936, because it probably would have just taken a division of French troops to topple the Hitler government. I mean, really, after he reoccupied the Rhineland. I mean, basically, at that point in time, the French could have ended it. That's just my opinion, and I could be wrong about dates, so please correct me. But basically, when they reoccupied the Rhineland, they really hadn't developed their military to the point that they could have defended themselves. So yes, was there a chance that World War II could have been prevented? Yes, if the French had shown a tiny bit of courage in 1936, one or two divisions, and the entire thing probably wouldn't have happened. But then there's the other question. What if it would have been Stalin instead? And I know that's crazy because people say, well, no, Hitler was the reason. But guys, I don't know. Maybe I'm ranting on this, and maybe I'm talking too long on this, but it's not that simple, okay? World War I was a horrible war, and it produced a lot of what you could call historical monsters. One of those historical monsters was Hitler and Nazism. Another was Mussolini. There were many monsters that were created. One was Stalin, and you have to understand something. Even though Stalin did some very irrational things, like kill off most of his officer corps in the late 30s, that was pretty stupid. But including Tukhachevsky, who was a kind of a brilliant Russian theoretician, a Soviet, genius, whatever. Even though he did these crazy, irrational, sociopathic things, Stalin had tremendous power. He was controlling his military. He was modernizing his military, and he was picking and choosing people like Marshal Zhukov. I mean, think about this guy. Marshal Zhukov was sent to a prison camp by Stalin, and then he ended up loyally serving Stalin. And one time at dinner or lunch with some of his officers, he would be asked, hey, where were you all these years? And he would say, well, I was on a secret mission. But it's basically his teeth had been bashed out. So yeah, Stalin picked his generals very well. He wanted people who he could send to a camp, probably kill their family, and they'd still be okay with it. We allied ourselves with him in World War II. So something to consider. Something to consider that. Something to consider the other things. And when we think about this, we have to ask ourselves, do we oversimplify? Is it a cartoon? It's not a cartoon. War is not a cartoon. It's not a joke. It's not that simple. Like John McCain, here's the thing. I can think about him historically. Like, here's a guy raised in the military, believed in America. And believe me, there was a time when I was kind of like that. I believed enough to serve for a while, only for a while, and not in combat. Yeah, I believed for a while. But that guy believed, and maybe he kept believing. And if he kept believing, that's fine. But that's a cartoon version of reality. The other side of that reality are a lot of dead bodies. So one of the things when people think about, and maybe this is a weird conversation because it's also about narrative. One of the things to think about in terms of narrative, and it's just my opinion, my crazy, crazy, crazy opinion. It's the Sunday night of the week. It might be Monday night, but it feels like Sunday night, and I'm kind of dreading this week coming up because there's just this weird vibe in the air. I'll be honest with you. I think the mojo of planet Earth is turned a bit, but that's just my opinion on this Labor Day 2018. Bit of that mojo going on. But yeah. I wonder what's out there. But yeah, there's a lot of cartoon versions of reality. Cartoon descriptions of reality. Versions of reality that make sense, but only in a cartoon. And eventually, I think, people are going to have to just wake up to that. I don't know. Maybe they won't. It's sad because the other side of the cartoon, the other side of this overly simplified narrative of simple good and simple evil, is a lot of horror. The real evil is war, if we saw it for what it was. It isn't that simple as, well, there are good guys fighting and bad guys fighting. War itself is evil. So we might as well just put that on the table. And so if we want to think in terms of good guys and bad guys, preventing mass violence, which really you need a big government to do, to have that kind of power. Preventing that should be the objective. We shouldn't give government that much power, but oh boy, that means fewer jobs at the factories that make missiles, and that's the truth. Fewer jobs at the missile factories. And none of us want to admit it, and none of us want to accept it, but if you stop it, it's fewer jobs at the missile factories. It's fewer jobs making bullets, fewer jobs making tanks, fewer jobs making rifles, excuse me, and all the bits and pieces that go into the kit. Fewer jobs making vehicles and ships and fighter jets. I mean, think about it, all the fewer jobs. Fewer jobs making the cameras that spy on us all the time. Fewer jobs making the drones. Fewer jobs training people making the drones who will eventually get paid. Fewer jobs flying the drones. So that's the reality behind the cartoon.